Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaw's Cast, episode 377, part 2, Regretrospective. I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And we're back to try this episode again because things went poorly last week, as they do sometimes. That's fine, we're all here, we've got the emails, and different stuff has happened in the intervening week. Things like the president talking about video games and goddammit, Fuzz.
What were you talking about? Clanky things on the table and his hands were occupied so he couldn't...
Tap me down!
Unacceptable, Fuzz.
We just covered this. Don't drop shit on the table and clank. Oh my god.
That was on purpose.
So, we're out here on Shiva's patio tonight and they're enjoying hookah while I'm just here in my hoodie being cold. But it has been an interesting week.
You and your dog have a lot in common.
Indeed. he is indeed my small clone son. Also, he has bad allergies, too. But taking Benadryl doesn't knock him out. Last week, and then, of course, here a bit ago, we finally did our Coke Zero taste test.
Finally.
We got sent a 20-ounce bottle of Coke Zero Sugar from Canada. And then we were able to taste test American Coke Zero Sugar. And then a can of classic Coke Zero, because Shiva has a stockpile.
And then we all put blindfolds on, and there was a fourth cup that was just urine.
And we
call it the Coke Zero Challenge.
Well, that's the LaCroix Challenge.
Oh, is that a known thing?
No. Okay. I'm just dunking on LaCroix.
Who's LaCroix?
It's the vaguely fruit-flavored seltzer water that's popular.
LaCroix, the vampire villain from Forever Night.
No, it's more like...
You know, I'd forgotten about him.
LaCroix is like drinking seltzer water while someone yells the name of a fruit in a different room.
That is not inaccurate. I've had LaCroix.
It's fucking homeopathic flavored water.
I love that description. Yell the name of a fruit. Yes.
Oh my god.
That's accurate.
A hell of a dunk.
I could tell the difference between the Coke Zero Sugar and from both American and Canada, and also the Coke Zero. What do you guys remember about y'all's
experience?
Yeah. I remember there not being there may have been a small difference between the U.S. and Canada Zero Sugar. There was a big difference between that and original Coke Zero.
Yeah,
the original Coke Zero is a bit more acidic, and both the Coke Zero Sugars tasted like flat Coke.
Yeah, it is definitely more fizzy, original Coke Zero.
Yeah, and like I tasted more of an aspartame aftertaste with original Coke Zero, which I didn't notice when I was drinking it all the time, but I noticed it just that once, because it's the first time I'd had it in a while.
In like 6 months.
Yeah. To me, the two zero sugars tasted pretty much the same.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't noticeable. I mean, so what we did is I was the only one that knew. I poured out 3 cups, unmarked, you know, besides 1, 2, and 3, so I could keep track of the cups, and then called in these two and Sarah, who's a dedicated original drinker, and had everybody take a sip, and then which one did you like best? And then, can you tell which is which? Sarah, the dedicated original drinker, actually liked the no sugar better.
Yeah.
That was the surprise of the night.
Mm.
There's always good regional variants. Like, I mean, you can try American Coke, regular Coke, and then, like, Mexican Coke, or Dr. Pepper and Dublin Dr. Pepper. And actually, a lot of the places around here have the, like, store brand cane sugar sodas.
Mm.
They're just kind of random, whatever.
Like, I could tell the difference between, like, Aussie Coke Zero and U.S. Coke Zero. And the same with Aussie Pepsi Max versus U.S. Pepsi Max.
But, yeah, that was basically the wrapping up of the Coke Zero saga that, like, the generous individual that sent us this bottle sent it back in, like,
October.
Yeah. And they paid like 17 Canadian to get it to us. And so, we just felt bad that it took us so long.
Which is only like $2 US.
Yeah, but still. It's not like it's Zimbabwean dollars.
I mean, I felt bad for us just forgetting it week after week.
Well, it sat in my kitchen for a while, and then it sat at Fuzz's, and then we finally remembered it, and then the episode we finally do it on, initially, it fucks up. So, it was not our day.
No. It seriously was not.
So, what do we want to do first? We want to talk about the video games, we want to talk about the furry stuff, we want to talk about our president being a dumb shit.
Well, the last is kind of a given at this point.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, video games rolls into the president being a dumb shit, but there's both good and bad news with video games this week, which I'm definitely throwing that ball over to you, because on the good news side, Nintendo, was it, had like a big announcement of all this new shit that they're bringing out?
I had the Nintendo Direct today, and it was funny because I was thinking to myself, I could do a short stream now that I've got Twitch affiliate and just, you know, put a little more time on the clock, you know, do something in the afternoon. And then I looked at Twitter and people were like, Nintendo, 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 Nintendo. And I'm like, oh, right, I should not do that. I want to watch the Direct and not play a video game right now. They did a few things for the 3DS because they still refuse to let the system die. Mm-hmm. But they're bringing a bunch of stuff onto the Switch. So they're bringing Undertale and Okami HD, which is really wild because that game came out on the PlayStation 2.
I've heard good things about Okami. I've never actually played it.
It's really good, super long.
Well, I know it's like Glar's favorite. He's a local friend. It's his favorite game ever.
I mean, you get to play as the wolf goddess Amaterasu and all this fun stuff, and they've updated the controls for the Wii U, or not the Wii U, the Switch, where you can use the touch screen on if you're playing undocked, or use the little Joy-Cons if you're playing in TV mode, which is really cool.
Is it just me, or did the Wii U have a really short, undistinguished life?
Kind of, yeah.
You're right. Basically, it came out, it had that weird-ass tablet controller that nobody really dug, and it was less powerful.
And he also only had one for, like, everybody who's playing. So one person got the tablet, and everybody else got regular controllers.
Yeah.
So it was kind of misbalanced for that
one person. And I remember the concept was, like, you could play some stuff, like, if you didn't have control of the TV because Dad wanted to watch NRA TV or something that day, you could, like, play a game on the tablet,
It would transmit the video signal, and you could play it on the tablet while the system was going. You could also, like, there were people talking about they could plug the Wii U into the power socket on, like, a plane, and then play the game on the tablet.
Mm-hmm. So it's a bit like a Switch, except the technology is advanced and minimized a bit in the meantime.
Yeah.
It just kind of grew up.
It's like the Switch is like the more evolved version of the Wii U has evolved into Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, basically the Switch is the unification of the 3DS and the Wii U. And one of the nice things that Nintendo's been doing is they're rescuing a lot of the games that were basically left derelict on the Wii U that were pretty much only on the Wii U. And they're bringing them to Switch.
Yeah.
So they brought Mario Kart 8, so Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. They're bringing Hyrule Warriors, which is the Legend of Zelda game. They rescued Breath of the Wild from the Switch, from the Wii U, put it on the Switch. They brought Bayonetta 1 and 2 from the Wii U to the Switch. Bayonetta is such
a crazy but fun game.
They have, what else? Announced Smash Brothers for Switch this year. And it's coming this year. It was like the final announcement on the Nintendo Direct today. But basically, it was the Inklings, after they announced a really cool-looking single-player story campaign for Splatoon 2, that they're probably going to add Inklings to Smash, and that not only are the Inklings coming to Smash, that Smash is being brought to the Switch, and it's going to be out this year. So they've been really mum on it. So what's probably going to happen is going to be basically Smash for Wii U, but updated with some additional characters, which will be pretty wild because there's already a billion characters on Smash Wii U, but it'll be on Switch. Oh, Pokken Tournament was another one that got brought from the Wii U to the Switch that was actually very, very popular at Fiesta this year.
I don't know that one.
It's a Pokemon fighting game.
Ah.
Oh.
Pokemon battling's more similar to that in, like, the anime versus the turn-based stuff that's in, like, handhelds. So they jump around, use their four abilities and whatnot. It's a lot of fun.
Mm.
And the characters that they have are basically a lot of the popular ones. You don't get any, like, the weird, like, you can't have a Lapras. They show up as supports, but it's primarily the bipedal humanish. There's, like, Charizard, Bryzen, Garchomp.
You just reminded me of something back in the day when we used to do song parodies of what was coming over the intercom when I worked retail.
Mm-hmm.
My friend came up with, you know, for Africa, it's like, rising like a Lapras above the Serengeti.
Oh, yeah. That would have a bad time out there.
We were also watching Pokemon at the time, so...
Yeah, as you do. But the Nintendo Direct today was really good. It was really short, and they didn't waste a lot of time on superfluous nonsense. Like, they spent a lot of time on Mario Tennis Aces, which is a new Mario Tennis game, which is great, if you like Mario Tennis.
Yeah.
But there are people excited for it, so, you know, more power to them. Oh, they're also bringing Dark Souls to the Switch, because of course not. Of course, everybody dunks on Skyrim, right? But now Dark Souls has been on, like, PS3, PS4, Switch. You know, if they could get it on smartphones, they fucking would.
I'm waiting for them to just re-release Excitebike.
Yeah. They didn't announce the Virtual Console, which is kind of sad, because...
Are they even planning to do that this time?
They've done it for the last few systems, so okay. People expect it, but they haven't really said much.
Virtual console?
Yeah, basically, it emulates prior systems.
Ah.
They had it on the Wii.
So you could, like, buy Mario 3 and play it on your Nintendo Wii.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I mean, I think they might have also felt that they depreciated the value of the ROMs and purchasing on mobile, like, for the Switch, because they put out the SNES Mini, but you can't play the games just off the SNES Mini. You have to have a TV. Like,
right,
one of the big deals, the Nintendo Switch is apparently also one of the biggest platforms for indie games right now.
Really?
They just announced that they ported a new major engine to compatibility with the Switch.
Hmm.
It's like Game Maker 2 or whatever, which a lot of indie titles have been made in.
So what's the if you're an indie game developer, what's the process for, like, putting out something that people can play on the Switch?
Basically, you have to make it so that it can execute using ARM chips, like, similar that are in Android phones, because the Switch itself is...
But I'm like, how do you get the game onto the Switch? Because their little carts are proprietary. Do they make, like, blanks?
Digital distribution, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They just download it?
A lot of stuff doesn't have physical distribution anymore, because they can just download it to your system.
Because isn't that, like, a virtual console thing?
Because
I thought all the Switch games you still had to physically buy, and they came in the little tiny cartridge.
Only major releases get that, really.
Oh.
Because, like, I digitally purchased Splatoon 2, just downloaded it, and it lives on my system. But for, like, Pokken, Zelda, or Mario Galaxy, or Mario Odyssey, I have to put the little carts in for those.
So what kind of hard drive or drive size do you have on a Switch?
The Switches have 32 gigs.
Okay.
Which is
that enough
larger
for...
than a lot of phones.
It's larger than a lot of phones, but it's not nearly sufficient to have a bunch of video games on it.
Uh-huh.
And they've already released a couple games that require you to download additional stuff from the net to play it.
Right.
It's like, the game is... fills this entire cartridge, plus you have to download a further, like, 10 gigs or whatever.
All
the other thing, though, is it does have a micro SD expansion slot that can take up to, like, 256 gigs.
Oh, okay. Slots. Well, that's not as big an issue.
Yeah. So, basically, the Switch is really, really cool. Things that aren't cool, though, is our dumbass president.
Yep.
Saying that video games cause violence, and here, let's take a look at this video montage, it's a minute long, to prove it. It was an interesting combination of games. It was a lot of gun games that the government basically promoted out there to get people interested in the military. It features Call of Duty Black Ops. It features Modern Warfare. It featured Fallout 4. It featured Wolfenstein The New Order, which is killing Nazis. And Sniper Elite, which is killing Nazis. So they're like, this is bad violence. But they're killing Nazis, so that's also bad to them.
And also these Super Mario games teaches people that they can, like, jump on a turtle shell and get infinite lives. And that's not a message that we want to put out there.
And the
people
kids
shouldn't be stomping on turtles thinking they'll live forever.
They're eating strange mushrooms. They're not going to make you grow.
They might make you see shit the whole bit. You'll think that you grew.
Yeah. Find the right kind of mushrooms. They'll have a good time. Find the bad ones, just die. Then also there was Fallout 4, which is a post-nuclear apocalypse, which was caused by America. And The Evil Within, which is a survival horror game. And then the last one was really weird.
Oh, I just thought that was a documentary about the White House.
It's Dead by Daylight, which is a multiplayer 4v1 game where four people are basically the victims of a serial killer or a movie monster character, and they have to run around and repair the generators to open the door to escape.
Bo's a branch manager.
Aww. Yes, the branch manager Bo. Yeah, we're in the backyard, so the dog is outside, and he has found a stick bigger than himself.
They showed gameplay of Dead by Daylight, which is a game that, like, Graveyard Greg likes. I've watched him stream it a bit.
I thought that was the documentary about JFK.
Yeah, that too. Basically, when he captures a person, he puts them on meat hooks. Kind of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the Punisher that did that at one point?
I think so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's the fucking Punisher.
Yeah.
But basically, it's this minute-long montage of stolen YouTube footage because it includes people's fucking watermarks on the videos. Put it by the White House to show that video games are bad when 90% of them are American government fellating video games.
The other interesting
thing about Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing about this is that this is online as an unlisted YouTube video, which I guess they did just to show during their presentation at the White House, but somebody in the administration, go figure, leaked the link. So now, you know,
if you're doing a fucking presentation, you couldn't host it any place else other than YouTube.
Yeah, you couldn't have put it on Dailymotion or just showed it on somebody's laptop.
Or a server or something. No, you put it on fucking YouTube.
So it has 53,368 views at this exact moment, with 237 thumbs up and 6,000 thumbs down.
And, like, less than an hour ago,
comments, 1,986.
They didn't even disable comments for it.
Yeah. Just imagining the president and a bunch of executives watching this in awkward silence cracks me up. The White House didn't even bother to crop out the watermarks from channels they took the videos from. The freaking White House. Oh, sure, United States government uploads Fallout 4 gameplay and it's fine, but when I do it, it gets demonetized. The official White House Let's Play channel, finally. You know, I hope every YouTuber in this video issues a takedown on this. How to lose a generation of voters in 1 minute 29 seconds somehow. Demonetized! 310, not enough zombies. So basically just, wow, they're allowed to upload violent video game footage, but I'm not, you know. So President Pooh Brain decided that it wasn't the guns that killed people in Florida, it was the guns in video games that killed people. And Nazis and monsters.
And they only and do zombies. This because they'd have to admit that gun control is an issue.
Yeah, and
why do that when you could just demonize entertainment instead?
It's dumb because this is just the latest. I mean, we already went through the video games thing in the early 2000s with Jack fucking Thompson in Mortal Kombat. I'm sure you guys might not remember that.
Oh, I remember it.
But no, I remember that being on TV because, like, I had Mortal Kombat 3 on my SNES, and I remember seeing news reports about how, because they were going on about it was one of the earliest games that had gore, that actually had, like, digitized blood.
Yeah.
Really incredibly, you know, unrealistic gore.
I remember when I ripped the heart out of one of my friends after playing video games, and then he ripped my spine out through my skull. It took me a while to get better from that. But here we are again with everything under the sun, but actual access to guns and firearms being stupidly easy.
And mental health.
And the lack of mental health care availability in the state or in the country. You know, first it was rock and roll in the 70s. It was
heavy metal.
It was
D&D,
and you know, prior to that, it was movies, I mean, you can go, you can find crazy dumbass thoughts about practically anything. You know, there was this fantastic image I saw, which I'm pretty sure it's real. It was a basically a pamphlet on how the train that allows people to go more than 15 miles an hour is ungodly and will send your soul straight to hell because man was not intended to go faster than 15 miles an hour.
Is this from, like, way back in the day?
Yeah, way back in the day. But it was just, it's always been, we gotta scapegoat the current thing, or in this case, we're having a fucking flashback to the late 90s, early 2000s, where it's, oh, video games again. Despite the fact that actual violence, actual crime, has gone down considerably, which actually, if you want to really get down to it, coincides with the generation prior to this that got lead out of everything.
Yeah.
That got what?
Lead
out of everything. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lead poisoning, basically, the reason shit was really bad in the 70s and 80s was pollution and lead poisoning. It was literally making people crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it affected their kids, too. There was a video I just watched by the YouTuber ContraPoints. She makes some really cool, insightful stuff, and it was, yes, America is racist, and it talked about redlining and issues with race and stuff, and focused primarily on Baltimore, but also a lot of other cities that had issues with redlining and blockbusting.
Mm.
Redlining was basically when...
I know what blockbusting is. What's redlining?
Redlining was basically preventing people of color from purchasing property, like either via zoning ordinances or subdivisional covenants, like HOA bullshit. And there was a map, basically. It was like, where are places that still have lead paint in the buildings? Where are the poor areas of town? And where are the crime demographics in this?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, if you live in these areas that have lead paint and you grew up there, odds are you're going to be a little bit crazy and violent. And it doesn't matter what race you are, but it does correlate to
poverty
and landlords not taking care of their shit, and that is predominantly black and extremely poor whites, but primarily black folk.
A lot of the school shooting are usually, like, affluent, you know, white American males. Yeah. You know, or at least not necessarily deep in the poverty level. They could be, like, you know, middle class, or, you know, they're not usually the poorest of the poor that usually do the school shootings.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking about, like,
the homicide rate was a lot higher.
But you are correct that most of the people that do these mass shootings are white men. And a lot of them are very affluent. If we're going to look at, like, the school shooters, like, the guy that did Florida just recently, he was, like, known to be a dangerous individual and was called on and, like, hey, this guy's a nut. He's going to shoot the school up one day. And he fucking did.
Didn't he actually say he was going to shoot the school up?
Yeah, he said he was going to be a fucking famous school shooter with him in his MAGA hat. And you just look at that, or hell, you just go back to Harris and Klebold at Columbine.
Mm.
They were popular kids with rich parents. They weren't the goths or the outcasts. They weren't bullied. They were the bullies. And if you want to know more about that, listen to Last Podcast on the Left episodes for that one, because that's like 3 hours of your time.
And they did kind of dress in like grungy, but that was just affected. Yeah.
So basically what we're trying to get at is that guns are the fucking problem, kids. That's it. You know, how many school shootings has Australia had since they had their one massacre, said, fuck this noise, and took everybody's guns away? None. If you take away the instrument of destruction, they're like, oh, people will bring a knife, or they'll bring a bomb or a grenade, or they might as well bring a fucking crocodile in their backpack, you know? It's still a hell of a lot harder.
Florida, that's a possibility.
I mean, when you bring a fucking knife, okay, you could stab a couple people, and that is, you know, you could run around campus, stab people, but you have to get within arm's reach. You can't just hose an entire classroom from across the quad, or stand in a doorway and kill an entire classroom. You have to, like, get in,
up and personal.
You know, there's a big difference between the amount of damage one person with a knife can do versus even a semi-automatic or even any kind of range weapon. It's just, yeah, it's a risk, but the risk is vastly different.
A hand crossbow or a bow and arrow, that still takes time, you know?
Yeah.
And
unless you're fucking Hawkeye from the Avengers, you're not going to kill 30 people in a room.
You can't just, like, look one way, look over to your right, and then shoot an alien out of its air with an exploding arrow.
Yeah.
You mean video games won't train you to do that?
Guess not, unless there's like a Hunger Games series of video games.
No.
But yeah, I mean, people will say, you could do X and Y, Z. Yeah.
That's still harder.
Yeah.
People will, you know, give somebody, if there was two people on a desert island and one had a rock and killed the other, would that be fucked up? Yeah. But
I mean, if you got someone with a knife charging into a classroom, hell, a teacher could pick up a chair and fend him off.
Yeah, whereas a chair is not going to stop a bullet.
No. I love the people that are also, like, point out how many people are killed in car accidents, not realizing they're making their point for us, because they're like, we make you pass a test before you get a driver's license, and we make you buy insurance. So, yeah, maybe you should have, like, tests every few years for your gun violence, for your gun license, and have to have insurance and stuff like that.
You know, and proficiency tests and stuff like that. You know, you look at people like, oh, well, Switzerland's the most heavily armed country in the world. Well, everybody has a gun, but nobody has any ammo.
Well, everyone has a gun, but the guns are kept at the range.
Yeah.
They're not kept in the home. And everyone in Switzerland has a gun because they have like a 1 or 2 year conscription. So,
and like you get your, they don't keep the ammo with the guns.
You get your gun in the military, and then you have to keep them at the range.
And people talked about, like, oh, well, you know, Japan has guns, and they don't have this issue, but they also have way more violent video games. And again, in Japan, you have to register with the government, have a good goddamn reason. They reject like 80% of the gun permit requests. You have to have the gun and the ammunition in separate places in the house that the cops know about. They can show up, inspect your shit. And you have to take, like, all these mental evaluations and whatnot to make sure that you're not going to use that for a nefarious purpose. So, you know, and again, we don't do that shit in America.
I mean, I'm fine. That's what I don't understand. It's like, people, I say this as someone who's shot so much target practice. I have thousands of hours behind a scope, behind a stock, shooting. And I am all for regulation, and I'm all for a registry, and I'm all for, you know, controlling shit so that my fun can still be fun and not used to kill an entire classroom of kids.
And apparently a majority of gun owners actually are for the kinds of regulations we're talking about. It's just the NRA, which is funded by gun manufacturing companies that are lobbying to not have any restrictions at all because they want to sell more guns. And the majority of gun owners have like 1 or 2 guns for hunting or target practice. But the ones they're really concerned about are the majority of the guns are held by a very small number of people that have a whole fucking arsenal in their house.
Yeah. Something's going to have to be done. And the thing is, this has really pushed a lot of people to be more active. A lot of kids. And I say kids. These are 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds. There was a tweet that I just saw from one of the young women who survived the shooting at Parkland.
Yeah.
She's like, you keep calling us children. We're 17. My friend is 18.
We vote.
We vote. And we will be voting.
Yeah.
You know, and that's actually, that's pushing into something that I have been talking with some other lefty,
with some other southpaws.
Yes, encouraging like voter registration drives at furry conventions. Basically, be like, look, here's the paperwork you need, or here's a little table. Do you vote? You fucking should. Does your state have online voter registration? Here's the website. Do it right here. Or if your state doesn't, here's the information packet. You know, a lot of them have printout mail-in shit. Like, here's the form. Feel free to fill it out. Here's a stamp and an envelope.
And go out to high schools for, like, their senior year. And, like, hey, you're 18? Are you going to be 18 soon? Here's how you register. When you're 18, here's what you do. You know, you get to have a say.
Yeah, and so, like, for Texas, we don't have online voter registration, but they make the actual forms readily available, like post offices. You can just go and you can get them from them and be like, hey, I'm going to do a voter registration drive X place. And they'll like, here you go. And if you are out of state, you could be one of the people whose state has online. But we have a lot of people that live in Texas that attend our con that they could register to vote right fucking there. I think that we do need to be more, you know... I will be that motherfucker pushing for that kind of change in the fandom. Because I and a lot of other folks need... We need to... We're all... A lot of furries are very lefty, very liberal folks. But not everybody fucking votes. But after this last election cycle, when we saw that the margin of victory was like 77,000 fucking votes overall in the places that it mattered, we can't be fucking complacent. We can't let this shit show continue.
It is a fucking shit show.
Because every goddamn week, like, if we wanted to, like, if we did a podcast covering just the bullshit that happened with just our government in the given week, it would be a 2-hour podcast, and I wouldn't want to edit that shit at all.
And we'd end up never talking about anything else.
Yeah, it's just, it's wild. So, yeah, video games don't kill people, guns kill people.
People are looking to be a fucking glory hound and get their name out there and remembered to fucking kill people.
Yeah.
So, fandom news.
Yeah, fandom news.
There's the three that we covered last week and then the episode died.
Yep. So,
I don't even remember what fandom shit shows we
so one last was week. Further Confusion.
Califer.
Did they find a home in the last week?
Actually, I'm not sure. So the last week thing that we talked about briefly was the Califer had lost their hotel because basically last year's bullshit. They're like, PETA was there protesting some other thing, but PETA was there on site, and so they assumed, oh, they're mad at the furries.
Also the bomb threats.
And then, of course, bomb threats and swattings from alt-furry dipshits who cost them an extra $24,000 in security costs. So their hotel dropped them 4 months in advance of the convention.
Which isn't... Because that's when everything is coming up and, you know, that's when everything starts to get busy for a con. That's about the worst time.
Also, the con did say that they had been silent on room rates because they were trying to work us out. So I think they knew about it a little before 4 months, but probably not by a whole lot.
So looking at their Twitter account, 5 days ago, they said, sorry on disappearing. Things have been very hectic on myself and the chairwoman on finding a venue for this year. Please be patient as we can only do so much with our responsibilities and our daily jobs and lives. And then here, 3 days ago, they tweeted, currently talking with two hotels about hosting Califer this year, one of which sounds very promising. So, also, there was someone, they also mentioned, please leave the Sheridan alone. There's still a reference for us regardless of the situation we're in.
Yeah.
So not yet. Hopefully they'll be able to pull it together. Then we talked about how, you know, hotel issues have tanked a number of cons.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, people doing bullshit like this and how it's really hard to recover from a furlough year. If you have to take a break, like Rocket City never got off the ground again for a couple of different...
Yeah, they had missed a year, and then they had gotten a different hotel, and then found out close to the last minute that their hotel didn't allow full facial coverings because it was at the airport, so no fursuits, so they canceled that year. And then after that, it's like, you know, staff involvement kind of drops after you've been out of it for a couple of years, and after getting shot twice, basically, they were like, eh, I mean, you know, and I can't fucking blame them.
That's a hard thing to get over. I mean, once is hard and almost impossible to recover from. Twice is, yeah. The other incident was Anthro Northeast and their problems with their hotel.
Yeah,
right.
That was a weird one because it didn't seem to necessarily be the hotel, and everybody seemed to have a good time at A&E, but it was like an external security company. The hotel security was major butts, which was weird.
Because I thought it was also some of the hotel staff being a little bit too firm.
Some people said it was. It's one of those things that, like, it depended on your experience, I guess. I mean, not everyone in a hotel staff is going to be cool, but I guess the majority of them were okay. But, like, the security people were the major problem.
Yeah,
there like was... 4 people in a room watching a YouTube video would get a noise complaint, that kind of thing.
They also didn't cluster all the room block in one area. They had regular hotel guest between furry rooms, which causes the issue, and that's always a bad idea.
There was this great photo that most people, I'm sure, have seen at this point of, like, three security guards glowering at the furry dance. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they doing?
Having fun.
Ugh. So, there was that. I mean, and we did give major props to the folks that run A&E because they did put out kind of a mea culpa. We're working on this. Thanks for sticking with us. We're going to make next year great.
Don't yeah, worry. And they didn't just blow off people's concerns like a lot of PR moves mm-hmm. will do. We'll just be like, we don't see a problem. We're going to keep doing what we're doing, la-di-da. No, A&E actually was like, we know there were issues, and the chairperson put out a statement, and they're like, we're definitely not going to let this shit happen again.
Yeah. So that was really good on them.
Atlantic City was the third.
The Atlantic City thing was basically people being dumb online, saying, we're going to make our own con with Blackjack and hookers, but no panels or anything. Basically making it a big Fermi. And the people that were attached to that chat room being basically a bunch of racists and bigots.
Mm-hmm.
And screen caps came out en masse. So that was really a bad look.
Then, it wasn't the top leadership doing it.
It wasn't the top leadership, but it was people in the room. Like, mm-hmm. the big turning point that really was the worst shots that they had was a African-American member of their chat was like, hey, could you fucking not with the Uganda Knuckles meme?
Wasn't it with the noose around the neck,
too? Yeah, it was a hung Uganda Knuckles that said, there is no way. And he was like, hey, could you not? And people responded with a bunch of racism and standard bullshit vitriol.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, that person's been banned. Please don't hate us. And I'm just kind of like, you guys have put yourself at one hell of a goodwill deficit. People are going to be real skeptical of your shit, even if you do get it off the ground.
It sounded like they basically just want to have a weekend of partying and drinking and not, like, a con. Just one giant room party.
So just have a Fermi. Don't call yourself a convention.
They were advertising it as, like, this groundbreaking new way to do a con, like the first of its kind, and it's like, that's a fucking Fermi. That it's not even the first. Party. It's not even the first time there's been a con at a hotel that was not like a big official con. There was one here in Texas years ago that I went to called FoCon.
Mm-hmm.
It was just north of Austin. So what's that cave just north of Austin?
I know what you're talking about.
Natural Bridge Caverns.
It might have been. I'm not sure. It was a fairly small, very popular tourist destination, and basically we had like six hotel rooms at this small hotel, and we went to the. It was like we just one or two nights we stayed at a hotel, but we went to the cavern one day and walked through that, and that was really cool. And then we went to like there was like a candle making factory, like a couple of miles away from that.
It was actually
quite interesting, and it was just a dude down in that area, and like not Round Rock. There's another little town.
Round Rock is directly north of Austin, though.
Maybe it wasn't Round Rock. I'm not sure, but yeah, and it was fun, and it was a weekend, but it wasn't like wild and crazy and stuff like that. But it was this mini con at a hotel, and didn't have panels or viewers room or anything.
Well, I'm just gonna point out siesta.
Yeah.
That is exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're going to make their own siesta with blackjack and hookers and the Jersey Boardwalk. I mean, make a Fermi. That's cool. Just know that there's rules to this fucking game of conventions.
A convention implies, like, giant meeting space, you know, and, you know, more than just a couple of rooms.
I was just really amused at, like, this one Tumblr post about it. That I had, like, posted a screen cap from this fucking chuckle fuck talking about how, like, the convention staff just exists to have control and bully attendees and stuff like that. And it's sort of like, no one that's on a con staff is doing it for a glory and power. And that person seemed to think that was like the majority of staffers. Staffers like that tend to burn out in the first year or two that they're on staff. Because they get to the con and realize that they have to work or they shirk their duties because they're just like, oh, I'm going to go fuck off. Then they're not on staff anymore. And She was biting her fist, but I'm not saying any names because I haven't been on staff in years, so I don't know. Oh, okay, all right.
Anyways. Yeah, that was kind of the three things we hit on from the fandom last week. The other one, so the things that happened this week is there's a particular artist out there that I'm sure that you guys know.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Zosh. Adam Juan. Basically, this
guy... found out it's pronounced Zosh.
Whatever.
Which,
Zosh.
I wanted to...
Heavy on the douche.
I was thinking we could have called the episodes Zosh in Order, SVU.
No.
Dun, dun. No.
No.
Well, Skadoosh basically was shown to... There is screen caps of a conversation, DMs, between him and a person going by the name of Captain Otter.
I thought it was Cobalt.
No, yeah, it's Cobalt Dog. Captain Otter's a different douchebag.
Oh.
You're getting your douchebag furries mixed up. Yeah.
And
Captain Otter is a guy who is a fursuiter, and someone replied to him like, oh, I knew that was you in that other suit, and he went like apeshit on the guy. Like, wow. He's just basically a poppy for a fursuiter that is just a shitty person. Oh, I guess.
That's the other thing. You made me remember another shitty fursuiter.
There's another shitty fursuiter?
There's a lot of shitty fursuiters.
There's a lot of non-shitty ones.
Of course, that too. You know,
actually,
hashtag not all fursuiters, right?
Okay, let's break this up because, okay, we've talked about...
We're going to talk about Adam Juan.
Okay, let's talk about Zosh, and then I have a good fursuiter to talk about, and then we can talk about the other
fursuiter. Okay, let's not be like super negative all the time, because
right.
This one here, it's not surprising in a lot of ways, because this guy has a long history of allegations, and he's been drawing... He went from drawing cute gay dogs having sex in early Heat issues, where he got him popular, to doing younger and younger and younger and more mean-spirited-ass porn, up to this current one where, like, this one character is, like, 11,
mm-hmm.
and she fucks her dad. And it turns out that this conversation, this DMs, also basically included the person sending Zosh his, like, references of actual kids in, like, sexualized poses and, like, swimsuits and shit, and using that as the references for his stuff. Now, you don't have to look very hard on E621 or whatever to see his shit and be like, yep, that sure looks like a 10-year-old, because the massive size differences between the characters, the way they're drawn, etc., etc. And so basically this guy has been using actual exploited children as references for his dog people. And unsurprisingly, the fandom had some words with that. It's been just kind of a major what the fuck of the week.
He even, like, admitted to, yeah, that was bad on his Twitter.
Yeah, and, like, people were like, oh, it's fake, oh, these aren't real. No, he actually fucking admitted it on his Twitter. It's like, yeah, they're real. No, I don't actually, you know, I don't actually want to fuck kids, but blah, blah, blah. My DMs are open. So, he could have just been like, oh, those are fake or whatever, but he's fucking cops to it. And the fandom just kind of groans. And the thing is, this guy is... He's, like, protected by Furfinity and all this other nonsense. He's this poppy fur. He gets away with all this shit because he draws good dicks. Kids, there's really good artists out there that draw all sorts of cool stuff, including dicks, that aren't awful, terrible people. Like, look elsewhere for your porn. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically what we're saying is don't give him money.
Please don't.
Don't allow people that use images of exploited minors as references for their underage dog people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not, okay? Just don't.
Yeah. So what was your good first?
What's your good first here, folks?
Okay, so it's not good news, but it's a good fursuiter. It's a fursuiter, goes by the name Dog Bomb, or Dog Bomb 1 on Twitter. And if I recall correctly, he was a guy that's done, like, a lot of charity work with, like, sick kids and stuff like that. So, like, he's been kind of known as just, like, a good guy in the fandom for a while. And this is public knowledge. This is on his Twitter account. So he was, unfortunately, he's been diagnosed with ALS.
That's awful.
Lou Gehrig's disease.
I am intimately aware of it. It's what killed my grandfather.
Ah.
So I know it very well.
So apparently it has about a 2 to 5 year life expectancy from diagnosis.
Yeah.
Some people can live longer. Some people have lived up to 10 years.
I think my grandpa lived about 3.
So that's right about average. And he had noticed he was getting some weakness in his extremities and was like dropping shit and stuff like that. And it's like, I'm not usually that clumsy. Went to get it checked out, and that was the diagnosis. Well, since he's dying anyway, he's decided to donate a kidney.
Oh.
To just whoever needs one. Because apparently there is a really long waiting list and a real shortage of viable kidneys in the medical field. So normally, donating a kidney takes about 5 years off your life. So I guess he figures, you know, right now, I mean, what he had told somebody, somebody asked him, why don't you just donate it after you die? Because you can leave your organs after you actually die. And he had said that apparently a kidney donated from a live person is a lot more effective. Like, it starts working right away in a new body. It's just a much better situation all around. So he's actually taken his really bad medical news and said, I'm going to do something good with this. And it's just donated a kidney to whoever, you know? Just some person will get a kidney and be able to get off of dialysis because of this guy. And I think that's a really good thing that he's doing.
So, Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, is you start having issues with your extremities. You'll lose coordination. You'll lose all kinds of control. But it's I think it's ascending. So it goes from your outer limbs inwards.
Yeah.
One of the things it does is it removes your ability to swallow and control your tongue. So you gradually, you stop being able to eat solid foods. Hmm. And then you eventually have to go to pure tube feeding towards the end. My grandfather went through all this. And the last food that he ate, because he was mostly on a pure tube-fed diet, but he could still manage soft food, was tiramisu. So he made it his last kind of hurrah he was going to go around to all the restaurants in the area and basically find, you know, enjoy the last little bits of tiramisu he could.
Oh.
And that was kind of his thing.
Yeah.
So, because it's soft and it's his all-time favorite dessert, so that was the last thing he held on to. But after a time, he could no longer talk. He couldn't eat, you know, and he was still very functional up top, but eventually everything shuts down.
Yeah.
So it's an awful disease.
And for majority of sufferers, the last muscles that shut down are your ability to breathe.
Yeah.
So the majority of ALS sufferers, the eventual cause of death is respiratory failure.
Which is an awful way to die. But yeah, hi, Bo. Bo is on the podcast. He has to be on a ventilator, and then that doesn't become enough, and then you eventually just can't breathe anymore, and you pass.
So...
But you remember Ice Bucket Challenge years ago, that was...
That was for ALS, that's right, yeah.
You guys did it, or at least Savard did.
Savard did it. I filmed it.
I was there too.
It's been years. I can't.
Yeah, remember. I know, but
it was also. But the reason I chuckled, because Bo was sitting right here and I was petting him. I pulled my phone out, surreptitiously turned my phone to the camera, and I'm gonna be like, click, and he sees the camera and goes, and runs off. Like, no,
he is impossible to take photos of.
He will not take a photo of you petting me.
He is so hard to, because. Yeah, he knows what camera phones are, and he ducks them.
Yeah.
So, anyway, shout out to Dog Bomb for being a good guy right up to the end.
That's an awesome thing.
Yeah.
So who's your shitty fursuiter? Let's do a reverse shit sandwich here.
It's like, I don't even want to give the fucker's name because he's a negative attention whore.
Okay, so don't give his name.
Basically, his fursuiter brought his fucking gun to MFF.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even know his name, but I remember seeing the picture of him with a rifle case and a handgun in a hotel room.
And his fucking Kekistan shirt, his doofy-ass fursuit head. And it's like, hey, MFF, you should really get on that shit. This motherfucker brought a gun to your hotel and your convention. He brought a gun to Illinois, and Chicago specifically, which has very strict gun laws. You really ought to camp down on that and maybe not let this person come back, because he committed felonies. Don't allow that stuff to proliferate.
It's one thing to do it, it's another thing to fucking advertise it.
Yeah, to like, and then post it as if you're like, yo, check out this sweet-ass photo of me, lol. When people point out, like, this is at the hotel at the con, and that's a non-TSA-accessible locked gun case. What the fuck? So, that was sort of the other thing.
Yeah.
Like, cons need to be really aware of that. So, this pushes to something else, you know, me being the shit starter that I am. Basically, I want to see Fiesta ban airsoft guns. I am going to push for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, like, I ran a poll. Of course, my sample size is skewed. But basically, the vast majority of people do not want to see black, realistic gun, airsoft guns in convention spaces. I don't want to see them. I mentioned a couple people that had them this year at Fiesta 2 Security, because they're these doofy-ass tactical gun bros who dress up like they're wannabe soldiers. There was one guy that had a security thing on his vest, which he was not part of staff, and I made security go tell him to fuck off with that noise. And they're walking around with guns that are not instantly recognizable as being airsoft. Like, you see some doofy kid with what looks like an AR-15 or an MP5, and you go, oh shit, for a second, and then you see the little orange tip that's only on the very end of the barrel and not the actual tip of the gun. And we already have enough dangerous-ass people with guns in the con space, you know, cops. We don't need them being spooked. And honestly, everybody I talk to about this, and of course, again, my sample size is skewed, does not like it. It makes them uncomfortable in this space. And there's like maybe one or two people that I saw this year with it. It was a very small amount of folks, but I am getting to the point where I don't want to see those in con spaces in general. Like, if you have a very obviously Nerf gun ass looking thing, like, if you've got one of those big faux revolver barrel Nerf guns, that's very obviously a Nerf gun, even if you've painted it up and slapped some gears on it. But when you have an airsoft rifle that is designed to look exactly like an actual firearm,
except for an orange tip,
I don't think we need to allow that.
So, serious question. Have you actually talked to Sable about this?
I'm going to bring it up.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, bring it up, not just do a public poll and, you know, do anything.
Well, that's why we have a meeting coming up here soon, and I'm going to talk to folks.
I think he did the poll so he would have some numbers to show that
this, yeah, I mean,
had support.
This is something that I've been percolating on for a bit, and we haven't had a meeting since the convention. And yeah, it's going to be something that's bandied about, and I will talk to Sable about this. But I've made that decision that I'm going to try pushing for it, because I don't think that random-ass tactical bros have a space in a furry convention. Like, they already have enough. Like, yes, the weapons are checked. Yes, they get zip-tied or whatever. But honestly, I don't want to see it. There was an incident at Phoenix Comic-Con here last year where a dude fucking brought in a shotgun. He snuck in the side, had a shotgun, and didn't get noticed right away because, you know, oh shit. You know, it's just some tactical bro, and people realize, oh shit, that's an actual real-ass shotgun. And he got tackled, and there was no actual harm done.
But just, still. You
know, it just, those things don't have a spot in convention space, I feel. So,
not in this political climate.
No. And if you're a fursuiter, and you've got a goofy Nerf gun, and you're like a German Shepherd suiter, I saw this one that was like canine police, and he had little red-blue LEDs on his shoulders, and it was cute. But that's obviously a fursuit, and I don't think he had a weapon. And if he did, it was something Nerf. I'm talking about the dudes that dress up like wannabe soldiers with their real-ass looking airsoft guns and masks that are very obviously not furries. Or even if they are, they're dressed up the wrong type of costume for a convention. Because I don't really think... These things have really fallen out of vogue at, like, anime conventions, too. Like, it's just... People are getting uncomfortable with it, and I think...
It's hitting too close to home. Yeah. I mean...
We, at the start of this episode, we talked about gun violence and people, you know, it's not people being leery of people cosplaying as characters from anime or video games.
It's people thinking that they might sneak in something real underneath the guise of cosplay.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of waiting for that to happen, is that at one of the major conventions, someone to do that. And,
well, it happened last year at Phoenix Comic Con.
Well, I meant an actually, like, open fire on a crowd.
Oh, yeah. Well... I prefer that that not happen, so, you know.
But there is no safe place from gun violence anymore. I mean,
yeah.
All theaters? All those people in Vegas were at a fucking country music concert.
Yeah, theaters, schools, high schools, parks, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. Yeah.
And fucking gun nuts will say, like, oh, you should always be, like, watching your space and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but fuck you. I should be able to walk down the street or be a student in school or go to a movie theater or a concert or a convention without having to look for people trying to fucking shoot me.
And that's the other thing, is, like, watching your space, okay? If I remove all the non-entities, then that means the fucker walking around with a real gun is going to have less camouflage.
Yeah.
You know?
It's they're trying to blame the victims, you know?
Why weren't you vigilant? Well, you know, if I see a dude with a gun, like, if I see him with the gun, I'm probably going to get shot if he has that intent.
You take away the airsoft, that only leaves the real guns.
Yeah, and that would be a lot easier to spot.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine those guys made the various cops patrolling the place feel great either. You know, even if they do have the orange tips, you know, we don't need some trigger-happy popo coming in and blowing away an attendee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's coming right for me. I thought it was a coyote. That was a fursuiter, you know.
I mean, I'm game for it just because, like you said, it gets rid of the camouflage for a real threat.
Yeah. Obviously, I am but one person, but I'm going to talk to folks and see about getting some policy changes done, because, honestly... It made me very uncomfortable, and I know that I'm not the only person.
Hate to tell you, they already noticed your poll. They already know that you wanted to talk about it.
Okay, good.
it's already known.
Good.
I'm just saying, I think that they would have preferred that you talk to them first. and you know.
I wanted to see what the political climate was.
Well, like you said, your sample size is skewed. You know,
yeah,
well.
Doesn't matter. He has some numbers to show for it. But it's an idea that people support. And I didn't see his poll or vote on it, but I'll vote yes for the idea.
You're
not one person. Everyone knows you're like three Fennec stuffed in a hoodie.
Yeah. All right. Well, so.
So much yapping.
I figure, hey, I don't have be all very annoyingly moderate when I was, you know, managing a convention and having to keep peace on all sides there. But now I'm like... I'm just this dude. I have a role, and now I don't have to be quite as concerned.
Yeah.
Like, I can push a little bit more. And, you know, it's just getting shit done and trying to make the fandom a better place for the people that are attending our conventions and more enjoyable.
I'm just saying, you wouldn't have gotten, for the little bit I've got of the what it got brought up and got noticed, is like, there wasn't a lot of disagreement. There was mostly, I wish she had come to us first.
I'm not an exec.
No, but you're a lead.
Yeah.
And that has, you know, some say.
But I just wanted to get some data samples, so I can be like, look, I ran this poll, and I'm sure some people saw it. I mean, I don't have a ton of followers on Twitter. I've got like 1340 something. That's not a lot in the grand scheme of things. And it didn't get a bunch of retweets either.
Yeah.
But it's just something I've been thinking about. So we'll have our meeting here this Saturday, and we'll discuss it, I'm sure.
This Saturday?
The board meeting?
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Probably out here.
Yeah, here on the patio. Hopefully it's nice.
It might rain in the morning, but it's supposed to be sunny all afternoon. Yeah. And we'll have to adjust as needed.
Do you guys have hookah at the board meetings now?
I don't know.
No, probably not. I mean, it's you know, you guys have your own hoses. You're not sharing. I wouldn't want to pass it around with a dozen folks.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of them are wicked into
hookah. Do you want some?
No, I'm good. So, do we have any emails this week?
We got some leftover emails.
Some leftovers.
That we did answer and then promptly lost, like...
Okay, so moving on from all the side discussion, I do have some good news this week. Something cool this week.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got Twitch affiliate. It took me a week of coming back to Twitch to do it, which was nice.
So apparently that's not difficult to do, I guess?
It is not difficult to do. So, like, last year or so, I was streaming on the regular with people on Discord and doing, like, Jackbox games and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got discouraged and then didn't do much. And then I went back and did YouTube for a bit. That wasn't really doing anything, so I got discouraged there as well. Which, you know, it sucks. And now that YouTube has demonetized my channel and taken my pennies away, it's like, well, why am I bothering, really? I'll post this podcast to my channel. I'll post occasional, like, reviews of stuff that catches my mind, but I'm just going to spend my time on Twitch. I can play games that I want to play. I don't have to worry about editing them. I can just go and play and be done with it. And because I already had, like, 200 followers or so from doing that prior... Mm-hmm. I already had the follower count, and then I just needed to have an average of 3 people watching over the course of the time, then stream for 7 days, and then also stream for a total of 15 hours or something like that. It's a very low...
They made it easier then.
Oh, it's 8 hours. You have to stream for 8 hours, stream 7 discrete days of your streams, and they have to be longer than 15 minutes long, and... Then you're like, all right, well, you can now get cheers and bits, and people can sub to you if they want. So I'm Twitch affiliate now, and cool. People can use... So this is me kind of e-begging a little. If you have Amazon Prime and you don't really use Twitch, you still get a free Twitch Prime subscription that you can give to somebody on a given month. It's not recurrent. Once it expires, you have to go do it again, which basically means you click it and it says use Twitch Prime sub. And basically what it is, it's tipping somebody $2.50 for free.
For a month? You have to do it on a monthly basis?
You have to do it on a monthly basis. Basically, you have to go and reapply. But you get access to, like, their emotes and whatever. And so I, of course, made my first emote, this headshot of Adam. It's looking dead on at the camera that I got. It was him. He was sitting down being very dainty, had his paws crossed in front of him, and was looking at me and, like, beauty shot. And so I... made it a little icon. So that's cool. I think I've had 3 or 4 people do that with their Twitch Prime, whatever. So that's cool.
So what's the difference between affiliate and partner? Because you posted that was like the next level to trying to...
Yeah, affiliate is basically you're treating it semi-seriously and we'll let you get... You don't get ad revenue, but you can get subscriptions and you can get bits, which are basically their micro-donation currency.
Mm-hmm.
You buy bits, it's like 100 bits to a dollar, that it scales up with to more bits the more you purchase. And you can just, like, cheer 100 bits, and it donates a buck. You basically get a buck. You can still do donations. Like, I've had a couple people donate me a fiver, which, hey, that's 10 bucks. That's $10 more than YouTube's paid me in the last year. People can get bits for watching ads voluntarily, and then you can pass those pennies over to your streamer of choice. Adds a in-system way of getting money for doing streaming.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just relying on people making donations via PayPal.
And subs.
And the subs also. And it's pretty much across the board that all subs, no matter what, you get half of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there is $9.99 and $25 sub levels, which, you know, that translates to $5 and $12.50 donations to people. I mean, yeah, Twitch gets a chunk of it, but it's also, if you're paying actual money, it's recurrent, so it's kind of like a Patreon system, but at $5 chunks and not $1. But that's been cool. I've fallen back into doing Legend of Zelda. I'm now further in that game than I've ever gotten before. I have completed one beast, and I'm second on the second.
Mm-hmm.
I am running around Death Mountain in a ridiculous outfit, trying not to fall in the lava. Which, I have to say, that game is really good and really, really fun.
Yeah, Sarah's played it to death and he loves it. And he's ranting about how it's the best game ever he's ever played.
Like, holy shit. I'm on Death Mountain and there's these motherfucking lizards and they have fire arrows that will knock my ass into lava, whatever. And I accidentally pull out, I have like 60 ice arrows on me. I pull my bow out and I just nail one of these lizards with an ice arrow. It freezes them solid and they fucking evaporate. How fucking cool is that? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my god, that is the coolest shit. And then I proceeded to slaughter those lizards that were in my way. Yeah, there's so many cool little interactions like that. There's this one where you have to complete a circuit. It involves this big, long-ass puzzle. I saw this solution where the guy basically has a bunch of metal weapons and just throws them in a line so that it makes a bridge between the point that has electricity and the point that needs electricity via all their metallic weapons.
Neat.
Like, they just skip the entire puzzle by saying, you know what else conducts electricity really well? Metal weapons. And they just threw all these metal weapons down to make a bridge.
That's smart. And yeah, that's really smart gameplay, too. Where so, they figure out, oh, hey.
I am just loving the shit out of it. But, of course, everybody was, and I put 25 hours into it on the Wii U before I had to give them back to Fiesta last year. I paid $60 for that copy and was like, fuck, I gotta get me a Switch so I can play this game again. And then I waited a while. So it's super good. You can find me. I'm kind of doing it late night, 10 to 1, but it's pretending kind of like 10 to 2, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday is the days I'm aiming for.
So obviously not Thursdays.
Obviously not Thursdays and not Sundays, because those are both like committed things. And Saturday is kind of flexible because that's a really, really, really busy stream night. So if I'm going to go hang out with friends, I'm not going to stream that night. But the way I'm doing it now is Panther's work schedule shifted earlier, so he goes to bed by like 10. So he goes to bed, I don't have to worry about him streaming Netflix or anything. I can stream at 1080p 60 bandwidth and not run into any sort of bottleneck.
That's good.
So that's a lot of fun. That's been cool. But we do have emails. This week's got 4, it looks like. One from last week, and then 3 that came in this week. You can email us at southpawscast@gmail.com. You can find us on Tumblr at southpawscast and send us anon asks that way. And we will just get right to it. You want to hit the first one, Shiva? Pick one.
Let's see. Hello, I'd like to ask advice for my hyena friend who's going to fly over from London for MFF next winter. He's extraordinarily shy with a hard time talking to anyone and also has a severe anxiety issues. It'll also be his first convention of any kind, and I think first international flight. So I'm pretty much any advice you might have for traveling internationally, tips for the hotel check-in and such, as well as any for the con itself, would be very helpful. Sincerely, Gray Fox and Bernardino. Let's see, traveling internationally, bring entertainment. It will be a long, boring flight. I think it's about 7 or 8 hours from Heathrow to most of the eastern U.S. Airports. So either one, try to find a way to sleep, get a like a window seat, try to sleep through most of it. That will help cut down the flight time immensely. If you're not really able to sleep, bring entertainment, bring a book. They often show good movies, some that are usually kind of recent in theaters. Bring a tablet or something to watch your own movies. Just be prepared to kill a lot of time. 1, in the airport, 2, on the plane. Hotel check-in, I don't know what the difference is between anything over in the UK. It's pretty much you walk up to the desk, wait in line, you know, here's my name, here's my ID, get your room, and go sit down. Attending the con, if you are shy or social anxiety, don't be afraid to run back to your room. Don't be afraid to hit your peopled out state and go hide. There's no shame in it. It's perfectly normal for anybody with any kind of social anxiety to go take a break. So go down, hit the dealer's room, go to a panel, and then retreat. And then repeat as needed to help settle your nerves and relax. Do try to make it out of the room. I've seen a couple people where all they do is go to cons and sit in a room, which, you know, you're missing a good chunk of it. But don't be afraid to take me time to go wind down your room, read a book or whatever your entertainment of choice, or You can always use the con as a home base. You're in Chicago for the first time. Plan to take a trip out of the hotel to get away from all the people and maybe just go to a tourist attraction. You know, you're going to be a whole bunch of people you'll never see again. Go see a site. Then come back to the con and do some more massive people-related things. You don't have to stay in the con hotel the entire time. It's a good home base when you're in a strange city to go sightsee. So catch an Uber. Go to a museum. Go out to eat at a famous restaurant or whatever your entertainment of choice is. And then come back and go to a dance. Go to Sunday night panel. You know, do whatever it is that you would like to do at a con. And be aware that a lot of the people who are at a furry con are also socially awkward individuals who don't have anybody to talk to either. So there's a whole bunch of people just like you who, you know, don't know how to start up conversations either. So you're not alone. A good way to break the ice is to go to some of the meet and greet panels that you have interest in, like board gaming, or there's motorcycle furs, or just a lecture on writing. And, you know, pick a person that seems interested in talking about a subject and just listen. Because there's often people who just want to share their knowledge, and it can come off as lecturing, depending on the individual. Then that can evolve into a conversation, and you've got a common ground on something you both enjoy. So it's kind of find common interests and start conversations based on them, and then go from there. That's a lot of how I break ice.
That sounds really good. I would say if your friend is attending and you're also attending, you expect them to stick to you like glue in a lot of cases, probably.
Yeah.
Because you're like the person they know, and that means that...
You're their safety line.
You're their safety net, basically. Another thing you mentioned, they're a hyena, so I bet there's probably like a species-specific, like, hey, hyena meet and greet. There was all sorts of that at Fiesta this year, so I'm sure that there's that kind of stuff at MFF, because they're way bigger. They're now the biggest one in the world, which is wild.
Poor Rama.
Yeah, well, that's the future he chose. Do you anything, Fuzz?
No, that sounds good to me.
All right. So let's look at the next email. This one is long, so I am fine taking it. A doozy of a situation. Hey there, all you wonderful furs of Southpaws. I've been a fan of your show for quite a long time and even sent an email way back then, but I'm afraid I have a rather distressing situation and could certainly use some advice or at least an ear to listen to my recent troubles concerning a dear friend of mine. Please keep this anon. Oh goodness, where to start? First off, my friend TP has been a lurker on FA for about 11 years and finally got the courage to reach out to make some friends about 8 months ago from now. I quickly became friends with him since we shared a lot of things in common, even dragged him to his very first FurCon, MFF, last year. I then offered TP a place to stay at my house when things got rough for him and he was homeless for a while. Despite being homeless, it was surprising that he was still determined to make it down to a furry convention he planned before his sudden departure as a truck driver came over some ridiculous little squabble. By sheer coincidence, I was headed the same FurCon, but while I booked my flights a month in advance, he decided to take the long road trip instead. So anyways, after the FurCon weekend, I needed to help to drive one of the roommates back to his place in Tennessee while my haste to get to the airport. I accidentally forgot a pair of clothes as well as the merchandise I got during the con. TP was going to drive back up to Bismarck to return them personally, but it had been practically a month since the FurCon ended and he was still over in Tennessee. This isn't the problem, mind you. Turns out after all this time, TP was still reeling after his sudden firing from his job and was wandering about, trying to figure out what to do next. I suggested that since furry activity is practically dead up in ND, he ought to stay with furry with whom he assisted in getting back home as a possible roommate. Let's call the guy S for the time being. And now we get to the current situation here. Just the other night, while I was sorting my favorite furry art that I'd saved on my FA account, I somehow stumbled across S's alternative account on FA by complete accident. Before I continue, I'll point out that S would be in his mid-20s, I'm guessing, while TP is 35 years old. As it turns out, there is a reason why S's alternative account is well hidden. It features art of furry kids being molested often by tickling. What's even more shocking is after clicking on a couple of the pictures just to be sure, it turns out that TP was often the first to comment on those pics encouraging S on the art. Even more so, the alternative account was created some 10 months ago, so probably wasn't a coincidence that TP just happened to know S before the FurCon weekend. I was completely shocked, speechless, and quickly reached out to TP via Telegram to hear his side of the story and see what's going on. After all the time I've known him, this came out of nowhere and I needed to know why. I mean, yeah, S has been known to have young furries in some questionable situations on his clean art, but for goodness sake, this is too much. Turns out TP encouraged S to make that alt account, and while he says he's not attracted to kids on that way, it's relatively harmless since it's just fantasy art, which I call complete bullshit. Pardon my language, but seriously pissed me off. TP had become one of my best friends, and here he was making excuses left and right and deflecting the subject while I was trying to warn him about the dangers of underage furry smut. I know that TP is still relatively new to the fandom, sort of. Hell, he actually thinks that furry trash is something that everybody wants to be. But for God's sake, he's a 35-year-old man encouraging this kind of behavior from the smut of an artist friend he really likes. It's like he must know that kind of stuff is wrong, right? In the end, no matter what I said, it wasn't enough to bring TP around, so I had to step away from the conversation before I made a really stupid mistake in the heat of the moment and simply asked him to mail my stuff back to me. I'm going to not talk to him for at least a week, but still, I'm at a complete loss of what to do. I feel like things will never be the same, and I don't want to lose a good friend over something like this. God damn it, why did it have to be this way? I fear that if I talk to my other furry friends, I'll eventually put two and two together and realize that TP, who is a respected admin in a furry group that I'm in, is involved in some heinous subjects and his reputation will be harmed. I almost want to start some anonymous rumors myself, but I know that wouldn't be very mature of me either. I'm going to try to get some sleep, but I need to get this off my chest. Thanks for hearing me out, you guys. I really appreciate it, and some kind of advice you can offer would be nice as well. As in the title, this is a doozy of a situation. An anonymous wolf. That is quite the conundrum. So you have a friend that is involved in some fetishy stuff that really squicks you, and is understandably so. And he also has some of your stuff. Personally, I would request that he mail me back my stuff, and then probably ghost him for a little while on Twitter, kind of like what you wanted to do. I would make sure to get your stuff from him, just because, hey, that's the stuff you bought at the con and you would like to have it back. Yeah, I think ghosting him a little while and thinking long and hard is completely reasonable, and I would not go out of my way to, like, bring this to light if you're concerned that this would be a major blow to him. I mean, I personally would be like, yo, this guy's a weirdo, but...
And also that it only keeps to art, and, like, he doesn't actually have photos of actual kids.
Exactly, because we talked about a little bit this earlier in the show, a similar situation, so...
I mean, art is... It doesn't harm anybody. It's uncomfortable, and it doesn't actually harm anybody. It's when you start doing, like, what Zausch did, and the guy feeding him imagery as references, where you start using actual kids, that it becomes a crime.
Yeah.
But it's not comfortable, and I would not be comfortable with that kind of stuff.
Also a legal gray area in this country. Yeah. Like, even drawn art that's non-human. I believe this came up years ago that, like, California actually has a law about that.
I mean,
that's why they weren't allowed to sell that one magazine at FC, because they were like, no, this would be against the law in our state.
And it's kind of like a slippery slope. Where does it go from art to, like, actual photos? You know? I would be, good friend, but you gotta kind of take your own temperature on this and feel, are you okay with being friends with someone who partakes and encourages this kind of thing? You're gonna have to find your own, where you're cool with this or not. I honestly don't know where that would fall for me in the end game.
My gut knee-jerk reaction is that shit is creepy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't really be comfortable with around somebody that was, like, really into, like, cup porn.
Yeah.
But
it's not a comfortable subject.
No.
I'm sorry, dude. That's a rough call to make. And I don't know what I would do in your place. I certainly probably take a step back and evaluate situation is not uncalled for.
I would definitely get your shit. Either way. Because, yeah. Like, whether it's a really close friend or somebody you just met, if your stuff that you bought is in somebody else's possession, I'd want it back ASAP anyway.
Yeah.
Just so that I have my stuff. So I would, you know, be like, hey, can you go ahead and send me that stuff back? I'll pay for the postage or whatever, you know. Go ahead and push him to do that. And then you can kind of be like, yeah, maybe slowly distance yourself. Maybe keep this an arm's length kind of friendship.
I'm sorry, I don't have better advice, but it's a hard situation. And like I said, I don't know where I'd fall in all this. If it was a really good friend I discovered was into something I really was morally against.
Because it's not like finding out that someone has a particular BDSM kink that you don't share. Look, if I found out our friend was into piss play, I would just sort of be like,
eh, okay, don't share that with me.
You do you.
You do you, and I'm not going to follow your AD.
Yeah.
You know? I don't want to see it, because it's not my thing, but I'm not going to think you're, like, a terrible person, because everybody has their kinks and there's some reason behind it. But when it gets to, like, really dodgy shit like that, you know?
Well, there's... Kids are a big deal breaker for me, so...
Yeah. So, is there another email?
I think there is.
Should I read it
then? If nothing else, there's the one that we lost last week.
Okay, well, I want to read the quick... Forgot the bottle? Question mark. No big deal. It's Coke. It'll keep. Also, welcome back, Shiva. D. So... This was the person that sent us the Coke Zero from Canada.
Thank you for the Coke Zero.
So we have addressed that. Yay! And we did the anonymous, and I'm just re-archiving these.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then we have the email from someone who discovered our music online, and they're a representative from an artist relations company. And I'm like, we don't do music, sorry.
No. You clearly did not actually listen to anything.
No, you were in fact a bot. Is that about it?
That's about it, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, we're also at, like, about 90 minutes raw before I edit things down, so this will give me plenty of time to work on.
And it's chilly.
Yeah, it's cold. Yeah. It is, like, getting down to low 50s, and I'm not wearing my sweats underneath my track pants, so my legs are chilly. It's 59, it says. Anyways, so, as always, you can find us pretty much everywhere as SouthPawsCast. You can find us SouthPawsCast, Tumblr, SouthPawsCast on Twitter, SouthPawsCast@gmail.com. You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/SouthPawsCast. We appreciate every little bit you guys give, and we'll be doing Patreon shoutouts at the end of the episode. I'll read those guys out as a thank you. You can find me on Twitter at Savern Drake. You can find me on Twitch at, you can go to finnick.top or just Savern on Twitch and find me streaming 5 days a week. You can find me on YouTube via justafox.com, which will probably just become the home of any sort of furry content I make and this podcast.
What?
And Bo just went rrr. I do want to point out that I did do a 35-minute video on a game called Foxtail. It's just a little bit of introduction and then me playing it. It's a furry point-and-click adventure game that is a whole $7, and you can check out the first little bit and decide if you would like to play that on my YouTube channel.
Oh, so now I don't have a Twitch, and I don't have a YouTube channel. I have a Twitter that I barely check anymore.
I have Twitter, this one twitch in my eye.
Twitter is fucking brain poison. I'll flat out say it.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I look at it like once a week these days. I mean, I barely am on it anymore.
Yeah.
I've seriously have slacked off. But I'm on there as Chimera, Khymaera. You can at me if you need my attention. Other than that, you can find me on Telegram by that same name. And of course, we're in the Nutcast fan chat. Which the is South Paws now cast. Southpaws fan chat. It's still full of porn.
Yep.
And that's gonna be the most that you find me on social media wise these days.
Well, social media, I'm on Twitter as Fuzzwolf. You can find my publishing company at Fur Planet on Twitter. That's furplanet.com. We are also on Facebook as Facebook.com/FurPlanet.
Bad Dog Books.
We also have baddogbooks.com as our ebook website. I don't use the Bad Dog Books Twitter account very often, but you can at there if you need site support, or you can contact us through the website. And we have all kinds of print books for Planet, ebooks, Bad Dog Books, and books. Books and books, books, books.
I think you might actually have some books.
I think I might, yes.
And you keep making more.
I know, I just got some. It's a sickness. So coming up, HavenCon is at the end of this month down in Austin. All three of us are going to be there. I will have a Fur Planet table in the dealer's room. And Zia and Savern will be helping me with that. You're, of course, welcome to drop by if you want. that you'll probably be running around.
I don't know what I'm going to be doing.
Being all LGBT or something.
I don't know. It's mostly going to support it and see it. I'm usually too burned out from Fiesta to go, so.
Yeah.
This is the kind of the last hurrah. I want to be there, say hi to Shane.
Give it a good send-off, yeah.
Yeah. I don't really have any solid plans for the weekend. I haven't looked at the programming or anything, so.
We could probably have, like, a nice dinner or maybe a room party or something like that. And then the very weekend after HavenCon is Furry Weekend Atlanta, which Saverin is also going to help at the table.
It's going to be a heck of a week.
And I know, was one of my favorite moments last week was when we were talking and you suddenly realized that you committed to dealing at two cons 2 weekends in a row. Like,
back to back cons.
You're like, wait a minute. It's a week after HavenCon.
But
Adam is going to think I left.
So Tyrion is going to be going to FWA to run that table with Saverin's help. So, you know, if you're in Austin, buy some books from me at HavenCon. And if you're in Atlanta, buy some books from Tyrion at FWA.
Reminds me to tell Zia I'm going to be at HavenCon.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool. We can all get together and talk about books!
Yeah, out of the blue, he messaged me about, I've been reading this thing. It's like, and after a while, it's like realizing, wait, I've read that. It's like, what series? It sounds mighty familiar. It's like, it was one of the Jim Butcher series that isn't Harry Dresden.
Oh, okay. Okay, so shout-outs time.
Yes, it is time for shout-outs for all of our fine patrons at patreon.com/southpawscast. So thank you at our top-tier folks, Kylie and Morley. You guys have been donating a whole bunch of money to us, and we are very grateful for you. Thank you very much. You've also been patrons since, 2015 for Kylie. Wow, thanks. Thank you to Jaden Drakas, Shadow D. Wolf, also dropping the big money. Our friend Tilton, Brandon C., Six Ocelot, Zirian, Pinarium, Piper Malone, Atty, Brandon, Tim, Paul, Tyrion, Orion, an Omnibus, Riada...
Omnibus?
Yeah, it's just an Omnibus.
Just one, a single Omnibus.
Riada Ankuatra, Riven Scythe, Greg Nicholson, Meryl Snowmew, Nikolai Dam Watson, Festive Pinball, Graith, Mog Moogle, Dustin Klaus, Anonymous Wolf Griffin, Brian Rainey, Ree Coyote, Idis, The Hidden Masters, Kilkado, Rilm Rasme, Seven Twigs, Michael K., Jester Spearman, Aaron Quinn, Bob Bellingham, and Romeros. Thank you very much, guys. Every last one of you, we're very thankful for.
And thank you for all your help from all of us.
Woo, thank you.
So on that note,
people that like us.
Good night.
And big books.
And like and subscribe.
And if you're a werewolf, like and subscribe.